You're the only Jesus someone will ever see. I started singing that song back when I was a kid. And just a wonderful message. And just remember, every time we're out, we're as a Christian, you live in a glass house. And we need to be a testimony so we can be an effective witness to those around us. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin reading a familiar passage as... Let's look at verse 13. We'll start there. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divided the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Look at verse 15. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them. A parable again is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So God is going to, Jesus Christ here is going to illustrate a truth by giving us a story. And a parable can be a true story or it can just be an illustration. But most believe this is a true story. So look here, it says, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You already write down, underline every personal pronoun here. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And then he goes on to explain to his disciples, and you know the rest of the story, most of you do. If not, you can read it later, where he says, listen, the Lord God provides. Even the lily of the fields, he provides them. He provides the rain. He provides all these things. He says, even them so clothe the grass. Verse 28, is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven. How much more will he, that is God, clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will provide everything that you need. Everything that you need. Look at verse 34. This is really the key verse. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for, again, an opportunity to come together and meet surrounding and by your word. And we do pray that you would just, again, help us as we look at this very important truth. And Lord, help us to see things for what they are and help us to see you for who you are. And that we put our lives in the right priorities, and Lord, that we live for you as you would want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And, you know, we could spend a lot of time just, you know, going over that verse. Where is your treasure? You know, where is your treasure? Well, your treasure is whatever you put the most time into. You know, your treasure is wherever you invest the most. Where do you invest the most? What do you do the most? What do you think about the most? And I would just encourage you, what do you think about the most? Do you think about the Lord during the day? Right? I think about, in fact, on the way here, I told my wife, we rode over together, and I said, I didn't think about her today. I don't know why. It just didn't happen. Normally it does. I work with her, you know. But just, you know how it is? Didn't think about my wife a lot today. Just busy. I don't want to ever be that busy, too busy for the Lord to think about Him during the day. Amen? I had an opportunity today to read and do some things and study and think about the Lord for a good while today, and just what a blessing it is. Just what a blessing it is to delve in the Word of God and read a good book. I read a book today, reading a book on preaching. So, you know, maybe that wouldn't be your cup of tea. But reading a good book and just concentrating and thinking about the Lord. How much do you think about the Lord? What do you invest the most in? Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This incident could be called the moment of truth. He was not a fool in the eyes of the world. In fact, he was a successful farmer. Right? You know, you drive by, I go up to the Bowie area and know a lot of people there, and I drive by certain farms and I know some of the farmers there. And, you know, several years back, he took his property and he built a fence all the way around it, and he built it out of cement posts and cement slats. All painted white. I mean, it looked sharp. But I said to myself, self? I'm talking about, you know, a man with, you know, several thousand acres. I mean, this is elaborate. I said, self, I know what's going to happen when the ground shifts and everything happens to that fence. You drive by it today, it looks atrocious. You know, the man invested, he could have invested in some T-posts and some barbed wire or even a metal fence, and he would have been much better off. But he's showing off a little bit. He wanted the big sign, the big entryway, and the fancy, you know. Successful farmer. Had a hard time keeping that fence built. This man was a good businessman, no doubt. You know, those around him knew him as a good businessman, and again, a successful farmer. He was very rich. He owned much lands. He had a good credit rating. He was well thought of, probably highly respected. Maybe a fine neighbor. Apparently, he was in good health. You know, he felt like, you know, I'm going to tear it all down and prosper and go forward. And, you know, he was in good health and felt that he had the life by the horns. And here we go. Expected to live a long time. He enjoyed living. Worldly living, but he enjoyed living. I'm glad today that as a Christian I have a different view. I'm glad today as Christians we have a different worldview. That just because we see someone who visibly prospering, that we know that that's not necessarily mean that they are prospering. Amen. I know just as many wealthy people who are miserable as I know poor people that are miserable. It's amazing. That stuff does not bring happiness. Stuff does not bring happiness. And so, you know, this man, our worldview is totally different. We understand and know as Christians we're to seek God first. We're to put God first. And all that other stuff will be added to us. God will give us that other stuff. But we're to put Him first. Everything that we do, we're to put Him first. This guy was a fool because he took no thought of God. And I'll go ahead and say that. I'm going to say that again about five other times. But he just took no thought of God. Left God out of the equation. And today we live in a society, in a world where most people leave God out of the equation. They leave God out of everything. Every decision they make, there's no inquiry and asking wisdom from God. They just do it themselves. But the bad thing about it is a lot of Christians the same way. We have a difficulty many times, you know, going to God and say, God, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to buy? What would you have me to purchase? Lord, what job would you have me to go to? And seeking wisdom from Him and making sure that God is first place there and the first priority in our life. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I appreciated Brother Lewis the other day, a couple Sundays ago. He was pretty frank, wasn't he? Just down to earth. You know, we live in a society today where a person will take a job on any day, even Sunday. And I know sometimes it's a necessity, and I believe that's between you and God, but boy, it shouldn't be priority. And if you're going to make more money simply by working on Sunday, and I know some of you have to work overtime and you have to do that. Again, I'm not chewing you out. I'm just saying priority is God. Priority is being in church on Sunday as opposed to making more money. Amen? Where your treasure is. And that's what Brother Robert Lewis said, and I appreciate him, again, just being down to earth and preaching it like it is. Why did God call this man a fool? Why did God call this man a fool? Well, he thought like a fool. He thought like a fool. He said to himself, he thought within himself. He thought within himself. The Bible says, take no thought on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and vanisheth away. He took no thought of repercussions of tomorrow, the next day, the next day. He only thought within himself. He didn't seek counsel. He didn't seek help. He just thought within himself. Just a selfish, selfish individual. Why did God call him a fool? Because he thought like a fool. Let us remember to always, again, keep God in the equation. To seek God first. To go to Him for wisdom. Go to Him for direction. Number two, he talked like a fool. He said, "What shall I do?" And I said you ought to mark those personal pronouns. It's 10 times that he uses the word I, my, and so forth. 10 times. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. I don't know about you, but every once in a while my kids will say that to me. I'm going to do this. I said, "No, you're not." Right? I'm the parent. You're not going to do that. "Well, I'm 18. Doesn't matter. Caleb can say that all he wants to. And Caleb, y'all know Caleb, he wouldn't do that. But, no. And can I tell you that sometimes God's saying no to us, but we're saying, "I'm going to do what I want to. I'm just going to do what I want to." And unlike us as parents, or at least should be this way, as parents, we should dictate what our kids do. Unlike that, God sometimes allows us to do those things and let us fall into the pit. And then what did he do? If you ask for forgiveness, he just picks you back up out of the pit and loves on you. Amen? By the way, sometimes our kids do that. I mean, they get out there and do something they shouldn't have done. And I hope that you have unconditional love for your kids. And when they ask for forgiveness, you're able to forgive them and bring them back in the fold. Amen? And God does that for us. But this man had no thought. He talked like a fool. He said, "I will do this. I will do that." Better be careful about the word "I." The pronoun, you better be careful. "I will get you in trouble. Myself will get you in trouble." Be careful. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Again, I know I'm repeating myself on purpose. Just leaving God out of the equation. "I will do this." Number three. Why did God call him a fool? Because he thought like a fool, he talked like a fool, and he walked like a fool. This man was evidently, and we know from his testimony, in spiritual darkness. Ecclesiastes 2:14 says, "The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness." Psalm 49 verse 10 through 11 says, "For he seeth that a wise man die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to" what? Others. "Leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever." This is Psalm 49, verse 10, 11. "And their dwelling place to all generations. They call tier lands after their own names." In other words, they, like I said, this farmer put a huge entrance. And we're talking out in the middle of Montague County. I mean, there's not nothing in Montague County, you know. Huge interest with his name on the, you know, name on it. And just, this guy's the same way. This man in our story, this man in the parable, just is all about him. All about him. Walked in darkness. He thought everything was going to continue as it was. Everything was going to continue as it was. "All the houses shall continue forever. It's dwelling place of the next generations." And then Psalm 49 says, "And they put their names on it." Well, I tell you what. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Again, life is a vapor. Psalm 49 says, "The fool trusteth in his riches." The fool trusteth in his riches. The fool trusteth in his riches. I know today we live in a different, maybe in a different climate financially. I don't think there's any of us in this room who would say that they have, with absolute certainty, know that they're going to have money in the bank in 3 or 4 weeks. Because we never know what's going to happen nationally, right? You know, and I hate that is even a factor. And I know, you know, several years ago, probably wasn't. I never really thought about that much. But we see that the climate, it's not just America, by the way, it's worldwide. Most countries have suffered. And I was talking to Brother Leaf about Brazil and about the finances there. They're one of the only countries who haven't suffered. In fact, during all this, they have improved. And there's several reasons why, and he was going over that with me. But most countries have suffered in this decline, in this recession, and so forth. So we don't know what's going to happen. You can't trust what's in your bank account. You can't trust, you know, in the riches. And a fool trusts in his riches. Again, you can't trust the government. Hang on. You can't trust the government, and you can't trust in the government. Even if the government wasn't what we would say, not exactly on the level, and many politicians were, even if they were on the level, you can't put your trust in the government. You can't trust. You put your trust in the Lord. You don't put your trust in your bank account or in your home. Or I know we've heard this 1,000 times, but it's good to be reminded. My trust is in the Lord. Everything about my life, my trust is in the Lord. I promise you, I have not lost a wink of sleep about any of this. I really haven't. The financial stuff, I just haven't. I just don't. I don't lose sleep over that kind of stuff. I absolutely trust the Lord. I know He's going to provide for me every time. He's provided for me in my adult life. I've never missed a meal, and I sure haven't missed a meal lately. Amen. Been eating some salad lately. I hate green stuff. I make fun of that. I really don't. I enjoy salad. By the way, all you guys that heard me say tweeter Sunday and made fun of me on Facebook and stuff, I knew exactly what I was saying, okay? I really did. But man, the whole youth department went crazy. The fool trusteth in his riches. Why did God call him a fool? Because he thought like a fool. We do need to get our thought life off of ourselves and onto the Lord and onto others. He talked like a fool. I this, I that. On that same note, we need to be careful about what we accomplish and that we always put we and I accomplished this or I did that. Amen. Make sure credit goes to where credit's due, the Lord. Amen? And in the past, and sometimes I still do it, I'll talk about my church. Or, refer to this church as, and some of you do the same thing. I mean, this is your church. But, you know, this is the Lord's church. This is the Lord's church. This is the Lord's ministry. And as a pastor, I want to be careful about referring to it as my church. I even grieve when somebody says, Eric Crawford's church. It's not Eric Crawford's church. It's the Lord's church. It's not about I. And we need to be careful how we talk about the church and talk about the things of God. And then again, his thought life, his the way he talked, the way he walked, walking in spiritual darkness, no thought of God, no thought of the things of God, not trusting in the Lord, but trusting in himself and his riches and his land. Number four, he lived like a fool. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We see this going on today, just people living it up for today. You know, just living it up for today. Fun, fortune, and fame all right now. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life all now. Want everything now. See this a lot in young people. Back in my generation, everybody wanted it now. And just credit carding it and credit it up until I get the TV I want, the couch I want, the car that I want, and the house that I want. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in debt up to, here. Living it up. I tell you what, the Bible makes it very clear that we better take thought of tomorrow as it concerns meeting the Lord. We preached on that, remember back when last year several times, that no man knows what tomorrow will bring forth. The Lord may come back tomorrow. We need to be ready. I'm going to cover that in a moment. But he lived like a fool. I really am. I'm just considering it. I'm absolutely probably going to do it. Brother Stone canceled his Facebook page. I'm probably going to cancel mine. I don't like to look on the Facebook and then see people doing things that I just absolutely believe are ungodly and not right for a Christian to do. We see, and I'm not talking about just in this church. I have other friends, even high school friends that are on my Facebook page. But some of them I know are Christians, and I see pictures of them at a bar. I see pictures of them in places and going doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And it grieves me that they call themselves a Christian, and yet they are participating in this eat, drink, and be merry society. This man just wanted to live it up. Tear down the old barns. Build the bigger barns. And let's eat more. Let's drink more. Let's live it up today. Let's be merry today. I'll tell you what. Eternity will hit him. Amen. Live like a fool. I still don't get individuals who get tattoos. You get a tattoo when you're 20. Some of you were in the military, you got tattoos when you're in the military. When you get to be, you know, 60, 70, 80, those tattoos look a lot different. Just telling you. First pastor I worked for was in the military. He had a couple of tattoos. And I've been in the pond swimming with him. I'm like, yeah, that totally changes everything. Why would you, you know, anyway. Number five, not only did he live like a fool, but he died like a fool. He died like a fool. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 16 says, "How dieth the wise man? How dieth the wise man? As the fool?" And the answer is no. The wise man doesn't die like a fool. In other words, a wise man understands that you can't take it with you. You've heard the saying many times that there's no hearse behind the... I mean, there's no U-Hauls behind the hearse. Yeah. Remember that house, that joke, and I'll mess it up, I know I will, but yeah. The house, the joke that J.C. House told years ago when he said, you know, a lady, his husband was there at the deathbed, and the husband said to his wife, "Hey, when I die, you know, put my stuff out up in the attic so that when I, you know, go to heaven that I can take my, you know, grab it on my way up." And so the husband died, and so she went to check on it. All the stuff was still there. And she said, "Oh, I should have put it in the basement." No, just kidding. I still messed it up, but it was pretty close. Pretty close. I always stink at the punchline. But you can't take it with you. You know, you can put it in the attic, but you're not going to grab it on your way up. You know, you absolutely can't take it with you. And that's what Ecclesiastes 2:16 is saying. He died like a fool. He died like a fool because you can't take it with you. Certainly, we ought to take thought as to retirements and all these things and make sure that we provide for ourselves when we retire, and those type of things. But we need to be careful about how we go about doing that, and that we do it to an area of excess and so forth, and because you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. And most kids end up, you know, squandering it anyway, so be careful. My parents basically said they're going to spend everything they got, so we don't have anything. So anyway, we'll have the farm, hopefully, Lord willing. Died like a fool. Died like a fool. Number six, and we're done, basically. I have a conclusion. He was judged like a fool. God said, "Thou fool. Thou fool." He had his priorities wrong. He had his values mixed up. Put all of his stock in his stuff. God said, "You're a fool." And then judged him. And then judged him. He said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Whose stuff? Who's your stuff? You know, who's going to have your stuff? He was judged like a fool. You see, this rich man made four mistakes. Four mistakes. He thought only of himself and not his accountability to God. Again, a fool lives as though there is no God. Can I remind you that we are simply stewards of what God has given us. Look at the last of 1 Chronicles. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I was reading this in my Bible reading, yesterday and today, and what a tremendous passage. You know, David is about to go off the scene, and he is going off the scene. He's about to die, and he's leaving all the plans of the new temple for Solomon. He's gathered all the materials for Solomon. I mean, just pounds and pounds and pounds of gold and silver and brass and all the cedar that he'll need, all the cedar lumber that he'll need, and all the stones that he'll need, all the marble he'll need. Everything's been provided. All Solomon has to do is take the material that David has put together or has assembled, has gathered, and Solomon is to assemble and build the temple. with all that material. And then he really encourages this group, because David says, I have given this. He gave so much himself as the king, a ton. And he challenges the other groups to give. And they do give. They give willingly. They give sacrificially the things of gold. He says over, and I'm going to miss it probably. Yeah, look at verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and hundreds, with the rulers of the kings, work, offered willingly. And it goes on to say they offered willingly. They offered willingly. And they gave willingly. You can look down through there. And the king also rejoiced with great joy after this offering that the many other leaders gave. And then in verse 10 he says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in thine heaven and in the earth is what? Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For, listen to this, for all things come of thee. And listen to this now, underline it, this is awesome. And of thine own have we given thee. Of all this stuff, I mean, David provided enough gold for them to cover the inside of the walls of the temple with gold. And then all these other leaders gave gold and after gold, I mean, precious stones to provide all these things. And the offering had just taken place. And David comes back and says, Lord, thou art great. Everything in heaven is yours. Everything in earth is yours. And what we have given you and what we have given towards the temple was simply giving back what you had given to us. Well, let us remember tonight that we're merely stewards of what God has given us. And yes, when you're at the tithe checkout, that's simply giving back what God has given you. None of it's yours. We're simply stewards of what God has given us. We're just managing it. And by the way, we're giving an account for that management. We need to be wise and pray and seek God's face in His direction as we give and as we serve and as we do for the Lord. I thought that was tremendous. I love that verse. I love it. King David says, listen, we're just giving back what's yours. He thought only himself and not his accountability to God for his stuff. He thought only of earth and not of heaven. Again, the verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added unto you. You put God first in your life. You seek Him first. You be faithful to God. He'll be faithful to you. Amen. I challenge you. If you're a Christian and you're living right, doing right, God's going to bless that. God's going to provide for your every need. He said so. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every need you have, He will supply. Well, that's not just physical. That's relational needs. If you're lonely, if you're sad, God will provide those needs for you. He'll provide every need you have. Physical needs, financial needs, relational needs, and so forth. Spiritual needs. He thought only of earth and not of heaven. We need to seek God first. He thought only of time and not eternity. Again, I've repeated this verse 3 or 4 times, but no man knows what tomorrow brings forth. We need to remember that this is not the end. This is merely a speck in time. Amen. A speck in eternity. Just a speck. One day the trumpet will sound. We will stand before God. We will give an account for our works, the Bible says, whether they be good or bad, as Christians. And then, man, what a day that will be. Live all eternity with Him. That's what we should keep in mind. We should live in light of eternity. I told you in the morning, I pray simply, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. I know Brother Stone preached one time, and I've kind of adopted it too, that I simply pray, Lord, help me live in light of eternity. I just every day want to live in light of eternity, knowing that I could stand before God today. We need to be careful. And then lastly, He thought only of body and not of soul. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He thought only of this life. He thought only of body, but not of soul. And can I tell you, as we go out last night and we were visiting, that was much more important. The soul is much more important than the body. The soul will live for eternity. It will go on forever. This earthly tent, this earthly tabernacle, one day will dissolve. It will die. One day they'll put me in the ground. But my soul and spirit, it never dies. He lived without understanding or without taking into account the soul. He put his body over the soul. You could gain the whole world, and it would be meaningless if you lose your own soul. I hope you're saved tonight. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. The greatest decision you ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Christian, the greatest decision you can ever make is just say, hey, my stuff's not my stuff, it's the Lord's stuff. Amen. And I'm just going to manage it as God leads me, and then understanding that I put God first in everything in my life. And don't live like this rich man. Don't put stock in your stuff. Just put stock in the Lord. And He'll take care of you every time. Amen? Let's all stand.